Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Web3 Economy by the Crypto Assets Institute. I am your host, Ethan Pierce. Don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform and join the community at theweb3economy.com, on Twitter, and in the Discord. And I am always happy to onboard new people into the exciting world of social tokens. Let me know and I will drop you some free Ethan coin to get you started in our community. As always, nothing presented here should ever be considered as legal or financial advice or solicitation to buy or sell. Please do your own research and talk to your lawyer, accountant, and tax advisors. So we just got off a great panel here at Latitude 59 in Tallinn about Web3 and crypto adoption. It's my pleasure to get to talk to Martin Brunk, who is the Executive Vice President of Binance for Europe, correct?
Correct.
So it was a great panel. We had the Minister for the Entrepreneurship and Innovation. We had somebody from MakerDAO. And we talked a lot about different issues around adoption and what's kind of blocking things. But one of the main things that we spent a lot of time on was just regulation, smart regulation. The fact that people that are building good things in Web3 and crypto want to have the appropriate level of innovation-friendly, innovation-encouraging regulation. And so lots of news the past couple of weeks about Binance doing very interesting things across Europe to proactively get the right licenses, the right kind of regulatory compliance, other cool things like launching this program at Station F. So obviously, you know, obviously, we can talk about the fact that you're doing so much in France, where we're both from, cool things there. Maybe just kind of explain where you see Binance right now in terms of all this regulatory discussion.
So we've been working very hard for the past many months to really step up our game when it comes to regulatory affairs. We had a pretty big step taking place a couple of weeks ago when Binance became fully regulated digital asset service provider in France. So we're now a fully regulated entity in France. We're very happy about it because France is a very very respected regulator. It was quite tough. It took us quite a lot of time to demonstrate to them that we fulfill all the conditions, but we're very happy now that there is an extra layer of credibility and assurance for all our customers that Binance is doing the right thing.
And, you know, I think what's interesting, the two layers there, the first is just to be, you know, it's easy when you're the big guy and you're well known for people to pay attention to lots of details or to want to criticize any possible thing that they can. So the fact that you're actively pursuing all of this regulatory compliance is a great message. And the fact that you're doing it in France, which is potentially not the easiest place to, and again, I don't know that I think that maybe that's good in the sense that easy regulation maybe means no regulation or poor regulation. So I think that that's a great signal. You're also doing a lot of other stuff in the French ecosystem. We've seen CZ a ton at the events and speaking in media. We just announced this program with Station F. Yep. Maybe you want to mention that?
Yeah, we've we announced back in December a program we call Objective Moon. Basically, as the first step, we announced we will invest 100 million euros in the French ecosystem. That includes building up an R&D center in France, but it also includes, yes, this collaboration with Station F. Mm. And basically, we're building a program for Web3 to help boost European, not just French, but European, and actually global Web3 companies through this program.
I think it's amazing because I've been in France for 16 years. I've been a part of the French tech ecosystem and how that's evolved over the past, nine now. And it's become one of the best places in Europe to build a startup, that's for sure, when it comes to the investor and entrepreneur visas, the employee visas, the amount of exterior venture capital that's put into the ecosystem, a government that is very actively trying to encourage and create the right environment for things to be built. But that hasn't necessarily created a lot of movement in the blockchain or crypto space up until now because it's mostly in other domains. But we do have amazing things like Ledger and So Rare and The Sandbox, which always surprises people that that's all French. And so I think it's great to see such a large amount of capital and resources being put into what is otherwise a fantastic ecosystem for building a startup. Now let's make sure that people are building in Web3. Coinhouse, its origins was the Bitcoin House, where people went to learn about, you know, basically just democratizing Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. And now a similar group has launched the NFT Factory to do the same thing, to really encourage and help people to onboard into Web3. From our panel earlier, what would you say are some of the other main problems that are limiting adoption into the Web3 space?
Yeah, I think one of the key takeaways was when you think about Web3, many of us are still probably not very clear, you know, what this really implies, right? I mean, this is a lot of these technologies, including NFTs, which we discussed, they're so early on that judging the technology and its potential by the current applications, it's almost unfair. You know, it's basically like judging the internet in early 90s and saying, well, this is not really that big of a deal because all it gives you is this slow thing and, you know, a cumbersome email using some Unix interfaces. But clearly the promise was much bigger and it delivered. So I think in the same way, this Web3, we're still in the early days. I'm very excited about the NFT technology, which we discussed there, not necessarily because of its first initial implementation, you know, through in art and creativity, but through a broader potential that this technology of effectively making digital files unique and verifiable, which has all kinds of, I think, really exciting possibilities.
And I think that that's where this gets fun, because you, the French ecosystem, I think, is very interesting for that because there's so much creativity. It's also, I mean, we've got the two main luxury blockchain projects, whether it's Aura with LVMH or Arianeef for you know, other things around the luxury and fashion space, based, you know, in Paris. We see a lot of stuff that is linked to the creative side of things, whether it's, you know, we've got the culinary industry, we've got luxury and fashion, a tremendous amount of stuff that is very creative in France. And a lot of the startup space has really been dedicated to a lot of those things as well, outside of the fintech stuff, which has been a big piece of the ecosystem. So I think allowing, you know, having technologies that help entrepreneurs build into the creative space is going to be super important. And it does seem like there's a lot of reasons why Paris and France in general could be well placed.
Yeah, no, look, I think France has made an amazing progress and an amazing job over the past, say, 5 years, building a super vibrant tech ecosystem. So that was frankly a key reason why we chose to start building something very, very important in France. I think within a very short period, and you know, probably within the next 12 to 18 months, we'll have a couple hundred people there. But again, I think that the part that I'm really excited about is that, you know, if we can start really building a hub, an ecosystem hub for the whole industry. And we're very fortunate with Binance that we do have a little bit of this magnet effect that when we move somewhere, you know, we move to Singapore and then a lot of the ecosystem followed. We moved to Dubai mid last year, built a hub there, like a lot of ecosystem followed. So I really expect and or at least hope that there will be the same effect in France.
I think, you know, there is this gravitational pull towards the really large actors in the space. It definitely happens over time with iteration, but it also, I think, can happen in innovation faster because of what happens. But like in Toulouse, we have the whole Airbus and industry, so there's tons of aviation or satellite or space stuff. Well, you put a large actor in a place like Paris around blockchain and crypto, that's going to help. We already have Ledger with such a significant presence and focusing on things in Paris. So Rare as well, which just announced their partnership with Major League Baseball. So now it's soccer and baseball and scaling up. You know, a huge part of that is still focused on being built in Paris. So I think tons of things to create a really interesting reason to be in Paris to build for Web3.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in a way, if you look at the Web2 and the big giant companies there, quite often people talk about a kill zones around these companies. So if you were actually a startup and you approached too closely what they were doing, you got into their kill zone, and it was very, very hard to proceed and compete because quite often they would either acquire you or just create a copycat and basically price you out of the industry. I think in this Web3 world that we really support at Binance, I would call, you know, the closer you get to us, it's more like an acceleration zone, you know, like when you have these slingshots around planets that can really accelerate you. And I think this is really kind of the way we're looking at it. We really want to be the acceleration zone for the Web3. And we also want to be, in a way, a gateway into this Web3. So we talk about this concept of CDFi. So where you use a centralized exchange to as a platform to get sort of cleaner, safer, more structured access into the DeFi world. So I think maybe one way of putting it is like with Amazon. You know, there are all these thousands or tens of thousands of manufacturers and retailers on the internet. But you don't usually go and search and find them one by one, but mm-hmm. quite often you go through these more centralized platforms like Amazon that actually give you a sort of a filter and to a certain extent reassurance to the right ones.
Yeah, I think it's, and so it, all the things are aligning. I think lots of great stuff can come. Just maybe as a last point to address, because on the regulatory side and all the success with what you've been able to accomplish now in France, what are your thoughts or feelings about the general energy in Europe with the EU's things they've been discussing a little bit from the Commission perspective and stuff? How do you feel that conversation is progressing? What needs to be done to make sure that we keep an environment that is regulatory correct in terms of the right amount of stuff, but is innovation friendly so that we can build stuff in Europe?
Yeah, I think, you know, first of all, I think it's actually a good sign that the regulators are now really interested in this space, because it means that they consider it important. They realize the importance of it. And I think from the conversation I've had so far, I'm quite encouraged that the regulators believe that this is sort of the next technological wave, and that Europe cannot afford to lose this one. We've lost it to a certain extent, well, to a large extent, with the Web 1, Web 2. If you look at all the large platforms, none of them is European. And so I think in this space, we really need to make sure that Europe can compete and can be a leader. And that also requires the right kind of regulatory framework that's helpful and that doesn't create these negative consequences, unintended consequences. So I think one key issue here is we need to have clarity, but we can't have over-regulation. And particularly on the Web 3, it's really important that when it comes to things like DeFi, NFT, we don't go too fast and too restrictive with the regulation, because, again, even if it might be well-meant, there's a big risk that it will create all these unintended consequences where it will effectively discourage innovation in this space in Europe, and the companies wouldn't move out of Europe.
Well, the innovators are just trying to figure out what Web3 is or should mean.
Sure.
So if we don't even know what we're going to build exactly, if we don't even know the applications of what that might be, the actual end result of where consumers are at, their needs, and the things that are being built for them, it makes it very hard for regulators to have any idea about what to regulate correctly if we don't even know what we're building yet. So that is a big danger to go too quickly in that space.
Exactly.
So, fascinating discussion. The panel was fantastic. It's been great here at Latitude to talk about all these different points, to have the government so involved and also wanting to have a great discussion and be so pro-innovation and actually very pro-Web3 and crypto, which I found to be super interesting to get to be a part of that discussion. Thank you for taking the time, and I look forward to hearing more cool news about France and Europe for Binance.
Absolute pleasure, and thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Martin.
Cheers.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of The Web3 Economy. Don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform and join the community at theweb3economy.com, on Twitter, and in the Discord. Let me know if there are specific guests or projects that you would like me to cover. Again, I am always happy to onboard new people into the exciting world of social tokens. Let me know and I will drop you some free ETH coin to get you started in our community. Again, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.